When Joe began his job as CEO of Tampa International Airport in 2011, our only routes outside of the continental United States, excluding the Canadians, who I tend to forget about, were to London, San Juan, and the Grand Caymans. Our airport has now expanded its international portfolio to include nonstop flights to Cuba, Switzerland, and Panama, giving Tampa Bay its first direct flight to Latin America. This December, I understand our airport will offer flights to Germany. Since Joe came on board, we have had a 52% increase in international passengers to Tampa Bay, and we are projecting a 73% increase by the end of this year. When not busy wooing new business, Joe has his hands full overseeing a nearly $1 billion renovation and expansion of our airport to better accommodate the 35 million passengers who pass through every year. His confident attitude and marketing experience has won him enormous praise and some fantastic pay raises from his bosses at the Hillsborough County Aviation Authority. His tenure has not been without a few controversies. He has been dinged for his pay raises, and the Tampa Bay Times nicknamed him Mr. Schmooze, criticizing his penchant to take visiting airline executives out to expensive meals on the public dime. Joe's response, when wooing new business, I can't take people to Denny's. Joe, I agree with you on that. While some may gripe about his salary or his entertainment budget, no one can question his enormous success and impact in our community. So where does Joe's success story begin? Some of you might remember the old 80s movie, Secret of My Success, starring Michael J. Fox. In that movie, a kid from Kansas comes to New York to conquer the business world and maneuvers his way from the mailroom to the boardroom in a matter of weeks. The maneuvering includes Michael J. Fox dashing into the elevator to change out of his mailroom clothes and into a three-piece suit to meet with the senior executives. Joe's story is not dissimilar. He began his career in the aviation industry when he took a job in the mailroom for Pan Am Airlines. Only Joe went to work every day wearing that three-piece suit and carrying a Wall Street Journal, determined to rise through the ranks, which he did. Before his mailroom gig at Pan Am, Joe has prior transportation experience as a checker cab driver in New York City. Joe's story is an American success story. He's worked his way up to fly as high as his airlines would let him. Prior to coming to Tampa as our airport CEO, he held leadership positions at Continental Airlines and then served as executive vice president for the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport before being recruited here to Tampa. He is a Renaissance man who loves good food and art and is known to lead the Congo lines at parties. He and I share a connection in our Italian roots and love for Italian food and cooking, which reminds me to ask you, when can we get some flights back to Italy? Because I'm sure your sauce is great, but you can't beat the food back in the old country. One of the things I appreciate being somebody involved here in Pinellas County is that Joe views our community and our airport as serving more than just Tampa, but defines our community more broadly to include Pinellas and Sarasota, the entire west coast of Florida. And I appreciate that he's worked so hard on this side of the bay with organizations such as the St. Pete Chamber and Visit St. Pete Clearwater and the Pinellas EDC. It has been hard to get him here, Janet Long told me, because he's afraid of our questions, and that made me feel good. So without further ado, please welcome Joe Lapano.
Pleasure to be here with you and look forward to the questions. I have 20 minutes, right? Otherwise, I get that bell. I better get moving. Well, this is, I'm a New York City cab driver, and I don't usually get to come to a yacht club, so you better check the plates and the towels later on. There might be a few missing by the time I'm here. To be able to view the airport, it's a fantastic airport, and it's not fantastic because I got here. It's fantastic because the guys who came before me who had vision and courage. They were not afraid to spend money, and they did it right. They made the first airport people mover in the world was in Tampa. Now, as Janet was saying at the table, can you imagine today trying to get someone to buy into that? Oh, that's an unproven technology. Oh, no way we're going to do that. Oh, no. They did it. They did it back then. And the reason we're great is because of the vision and the courage of guys like George Bean back in the 70s. We have three runways. We have one left, 19 right. We have a Run the Runway that's coming up for all you joggers. We have a United Way event where we close that runway, and we have a 5K running right straight down the middle of that runway. So if you want to do that, it's coming up in a couple of weeks. Sign up. One right, 19 left is 8,300 feet. That runway is 11,000. They are both Category 3 enabled, so 0-0 weather you can land. Four airsides, 59 gates. Next slide, John. So as far as the rankings go, we are the fourth largest airport in Florida. Florida is the only state in the country to have four large hub airports. The FAA ranks airports as large hub, medium hub, small hub. We have four large hubs, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and us. And then we carry about 80% of the traffic, and you can see after Tampa, it drops off to Fort Myers, Palm Beach, Jacksonville, and then Orlando, Pensacola, and so on. So really, we bring 80% of the traffic into Florida, and 90% of the visitors who come to Pinellas come through Tampa International Airport. Our financial performance, when I got here, we were in the middle of the triple perfect storm, is what I call it. We had the scare of oil on the beaches, we had a national recession, and we had a real estate meltdown all at the same time. We had zero in reserves, and we took our revenue from $162 million to $200 million without a major increase in passengers. The way we did it is we just got smarter with what we did. We introduced new concepts. We introduced Cigar City Brewing. We introduced Shula. So Shula's took the place of a hamburger. So instead of buying a $5 hamburger, you now bought an $18 filet mignon and a $12 glass of wine, and people were happy to buy that. So we just increased the ring value. We got more dollars per square foot, and we increased our revenue. We now have $28 million in reserves, and we're doing very well financially. You can see our budget here. Our total revenue is $200 million. Now, I will tell you, and Ben, thank you for the discussion about Mr. Spooz, because I still find it. I actually saved that paper, and I have it on my desk. I look back on it every once in a while, because it almost made me want to go back to Dallas, but I said, I've got to take this out. $200 million in revenue. None of it is from a tax dollar. Zero. We have the right to assess a tax. We have never done it. All of our revenue comes from people who use the airport. So you can see, has anybody ever parked at the airport? Raise your hand if you've parked there. Thank you very much. That's $50 million. I take it back, it's $60 million for parking, right? The next one is from airlines. So when an airline lands an airplane and they pull up to a gate, they pay us. And they make a lot of money. When the car rental companies rent the car, they pay us because we give them those facilities and we give them the opportunity to make revenue. The only reason they're making any revenue is because we brought 16 million passengers to their doorstep. So they pay for that. Nothing from tax dollars. Marketing and air service update. We have very, very good air service. And you can see here, we serve 79 nonstop destinations, 65 domestic and 14 international. Really good service on the East Coast. Not only do we have great cities that we serve, but we serve them with great frequency. We have 15 or 20 flights a day to New York. So if you can't find the time channel that you like, you got a problem. To the West Coast, go back in. To the West Coast, we have a glaring hole in San Francisco. We just added Seattle, which has been running a 90% plus load factor. However, we do need San Francisco, and we're working really hard on getting that as well. Internationally, as Ben said, we've been growing. We serve now three cities in Cuba, believe it or not. And if you all want to go to Cuba, the rules have obviously loosened up. I'm going in May. I would suggest that you go to our website, go to cuba.org, and it'll tell you how you can do this. We serve Holguin, Santa Clara, and Havana. So it's a beautiful country with beautiful people if you get a chance. So our passengers had fallen off because of this triple perfect storm. We've now grown them back to 17.5 million passengers in FY 2014. But the main growth has been international, 72% growth in international. When the board of directors interviewed me, they asked me, can you get international flights? And I had done a little bit of research before I came over here. And I realized about 5 million people who live here. And they said, well, there's not about 5 million people in Tampa. I said, but Tampa Airport doesn't serve just Tampa. Tampa Airport serves St. Pete, Clearwater, Bradenton, Lakeland, Sarasota. So if you're going from Sarasota to Zurich, guess what? You're driving up here and getting on a nonstop. So when you look at it that way, and you look at the disposable income of our area, of course people want to go internationally. How many people in this room have ever gone international? There you go. Okay, so the proof is in the pudding. So we've grown at 72%. We have a great marketing team, and we're very happy with the results. So we've added, we're going to add Frankfurt, Germany, with connections to 35 different countries in September. So if you have to go, I was talking to all children, they bring a lot of patients in from the Middle East. You can fly from Dubai, from Abu Dhabi to Frankfurt, and then you land in Tampa. You clear customs in our beautiful customs facility. We've also added flights to London. We've got daily now to London. We've got 3 times a week to Zurich, Panama City. Panama brings us the ability to serve not only Panama, but you can connect to 7 Brazilian cities. So places like Recife, Belo Horizonte, all these smaller cities can now connect right up to Panama, and your bag gets transferred, and you come right to Tampa, and you clear customs right here. And each air service, each time we land a new service, we get $154 million in economic impact. Now people say, oh, who calculated that? How could that be? So let me boil it down. There's 300 people on that airplane, and they each have 10,000 euros in their pocket, at least. And they're going to leave the euros in their community. And you don't have to educate their kids, you don't have to build roads. They're going to sit on the beaches, which God paid for. And they're going to take our son, which also God paid for, right? And they go back, and unless you take that money and go back to Germany and give back to them, it stays here. That's the best foreign investment you could possibly have. And that's why we do this. Master plan, this is exciting, exciting stuff. Because we're growing, and in fact, as Janet said, right in the middle of the recession, we decided to embark on this. And there were actually some people who said, why are you doing that? Because, I said, because what we do is 5 or 10 years down the road, and unless you think the U.S. economy is going to crater forever, you need to build for the future, because it's going to keep on growing. So, and here was our forecast. We're going to double our passengers within 20 years. And now we're going to spend $943 million. We have 3 main elements that are going to be taking place. Number one, we have to bump out the main terminal by 50,000 square feet in order to handle another 20 years of growth. Instead of building a new north terminal, we're going to stay in the building we're in. Can you imagine coming into the north terminal? I parked in the south terminal. Sounds like every other airport in America. We're not going to do that. One terminal building, we're just going to grow it. We're going to connect that terminal building with a 1.4-mile people mover system. So talk about going back to the future, right? We invented people movers, and now we're going to do it again. 1.4-mile people mover to a brand-new 2-million-square-foot rental car center that will be world-class. You will walk fewer steps to our rental car center, which is 1.4 miles away, than you do now across the street. Hard to believe, but true. And this will all be done by October of 2017. We are now erecting steel on the east side of the airport, and you can see in the lower right, that is the train station for the APM that will connect you to the rental car center. That will be where, if you're familiar with the airport and you look at C shuttle on your left, A shuttle on your right, used to be a smoking deck out front in the middle. That's going to be a beautiful train station with an escalator up to a platform. Here's an aerial view. We are well underway right now. They are rocking and rolling. I was out looking at the steel superstructure today. It's really awesome. And that's what it's going to look like in October 2017. Outdoor dining and a train station with trains coming in every 3 minutes. And you don't need a ticket to ride this train, so I imagine a lot of people are going to take their kids out there and ride the train, but that's what I did with my kids were little. So here's what it'll look like. View from the terrace. Now, we also have to take Taxiway J down, because we have to build a hole to get the people mover through that Taxiway J. Taxiway J is the bridge you go under. We are now disassembling that, and we'll reassemble it. In June, we will close one lane outbound. No lanes inbound, but one lane outbound. So getting into the airport, still same number of lanes. Leaving the airport, we've got to close one lane, so it might be a little congested. That's in June. And this is what it'll look like when we're done. You can see the people mover over to the right. Brand new bridge with expanded lane capabilities and a Delta 777 going over the top. We got a 777 pilot back there. That's a 777, right, Captain? Yes, sir. And this is the view of the south side near the economy parking garage. This is where we're currently building the Consolidated Rail Car Center. We're underway with the construction, and this is what it's going to look like. This is the view looking toward the east, so you can see downtown Tampa there. This will be a 2 million square foot, so when the train pulls into the station, the doors will open, and you'll be looking at Hertz County. And you just take your roller bag, you walk right up, and your car is waiting outside. Beauty part, you go right out the exit, and you're on the highway. You're not interacting with our roadways, you're right on the highway. Same thing when you return it. You're right off the highway, and you return it quickly. We'll also have a commercial curbside that can handle buses, so we hope to have bus rapid transit or some form of mass transit solution for our community. I'd love to see, and I'm talking to Secretary Steinman, I want a nonstop bus from Tampa. I get a nonstop flight to Zurich, I can't get a nonstop bus from Tampa. Go figure. So we want that. We want a nonstop bus from Pinellas. We want a nonstop bus from St. Pete, downtown St. Pete. This is what it'll look like. You can pick your bus up. You don't have to pay for parking. Get off the bus. Save $100 in parking. Who wouldn't want that deal? And here's the beauty part of this, too. This is where, here's the Consolidated Rental Car Center. We plan to build a convenience store and gas station here. So when you return your rental car, you gas it, you get a cup of coffee, you get whatever you want. And also, once we get the train built, as soon as we finish this project, we're going to start on this side of the road to build a hotel and office complex that will be connected to the people mover. So imagine if you work in that building and you need to go to Chicago. 5 o'clock, you get on the people mover, you go to Southwest, you don't pay for parking, you come back on Tuesday night, your car is right where it was in your office. So that's the plan for the future. Here's what it might look like. The hotel is 9 floors, at least nominally. So it will be a beautiful hotel. It will look out on the runway and the bay to the west. And to the east, it will look out on the east runway and the city. It will be the most spectacular hotel view that you can have. Now, I hope to have them build a rotating restaurant on top, and we'll call it CK's. That's original, isn't it? And you can see the office building as well. So lots of really, really exciting things going on. Well, how's my time?
7 minutes. I got 7 minutes left.
Yeah. Okay, I have 7 minutes left. I can talk about anything I want. So let me talk about what a privilege it is to really be doing what I'm doing. There aren't many people who really get a chance to have an impact on a community like I've been given the privilege to do here. And what we've done is we've just done what we think is right. And it would have been very easy for me to come in and say, yeah, well, you know, kick the can down the road. This is a lot of work, and we're already running an airport. That's an awful lot of work to build this project. That would have been the wrong thing to do. And we had to convince a lot of people that it was the right thing. There were a lot of people who said, Joe, $943 billion, that's a lot of money. Fortunately, when I was in Dallas, we spent $3 billion, and I was part of it. And I saw the benefit of it. I saw how you can finance it. So that experience has helped us in this community. But the reality of it is, you can do things. The first master plan presentation that I got came from our consultants. And they said, well, you know, we have congested roadways. We need more parking. So they said, let's build more lanes, and let's build more parking garages. And I said, that's lame. That's an awful solution. And they said, yeah, but it's cheap. I said, I didn't tell you to be cheap. I thought you were right. So they said, well, you know, the hotel is in the way. I said, then you demolish the hotel. I said, I'm looking at a 40 or 50 year plan here. Then they came back and they said, well, you know, realize that the roadways are congested. So instead of building more lanes, we studied why the roadways were congested. And we found out it's because the rental cars have to ride on the roadways to return their cars. And when they rent them, they have to ride on the roadways to get on highway. So we said, well, how about if we move the rental cars to the south? What happens? Your roadways get cleared up. You gain 2 floors in the parking garage that they occupy today. And your curbside congestion goes away because you don't have people crossing the street to get to the rental car companies. So we solved all those problems by thinking outside the box. And yeah, it was more expensive, but it's the right thing to do. And this will be, and we are the 9th largest rental car market in the country. So when you see people at the beaches in Pinellas, they come through the airport, rent a car, and drive to Pinellas and go to the beach. 9th largest rental car market. What they'll do now is they'll get on this people mover. The station will be 85 feet up in the air. Imagine this. You'll be going by palm trees, under a taxiway J bridge, under airplanes, past a roadway and you arrive at the Golf Car Center that is sparkling and brand new. This will be the experience for the Gulf Coast that will be unbelievable. So whether you're going to Sarasota, whether you're going to Bradenton, whether you're going to Tampa, Lakeland, whatever, Legoland, Busch Gardens, the beaches, you're going to be, it's going to be a spectacular and awesome arrival experience. So I'm going to do this. I am so excited about the questions. How about we get right to it?
Okay. We're ready for with some tough questions, right? Right? Okay. Just a reminder, only members can ask questions. You have 45 seconds. No speeches, please. And wait for the microphone.
Sir, in the back.
Harvey Landris. Just want to preface my question by saying TIA is my favorite airport. I love the parking. Why is airport food so expensive?
We have a very good question. We have a policy. It's called Street Plus. And we require our concessionaires to, they charge a premium because the rent is pretty expensive, right? But they are not allowed to charge to gouge. So it's, I think it's street plus 10%, something like that. And we audit that and make sure that they follow through on that. So we don't want people gouging a captive audience. It's unfortunate, though, that there's not a whole lot of competition injecting new ideas, okay? With respect to a group, an airport group, we do have something called Airports Council International. And one of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to increase the, there's a $4.50 passenger facility charge on your ticket. Everyone pays it at Tampa, right? We use that for only specific things. It can only be used for capital projects that increase competition, increase safety. Those have to be reviewed by the FAA. The $4.50 charge was levied in the year 2000. It hasn't been adjusted since. So it's basically not funded. The airlines are against it because they say, well, if you had a fee, people won't fly. Now, I got to tell you, I mean, if you fly on these airlines, it's $35 to bring a carry-on bag, $30 to check a bag, $5 if you want a boarding pass printed. And we're asking for a $4 increase. It's a cup of a Starbucks coffee to build new terminals, build new runways, and expand the system. 10 seconds. So I hear you. Yes, sir.
I'm Gregory Wilson, someone who grew up in Tampa and has watched your airport and gone through it a great deal, as well as a lot of other airports. I'm here to say that I don't begrudge you your salary.
Thank you.
It's not lost on me that it is called the Hillsborough County Aviation Authority. But given how you have repeatedly pointed out the contributions that other areas in the region make, including Pinellas and St. Petersburg, would it be too many cooks in the kitchen, or would it signal the end to parochial thinking and a regional thinking if perhaps your authority reflected the views of other counties and had members from those counties?
Good question. 30% of our passengers come from Pinellas or go to Pinellas. Only 30% come from Hillsborough. So the name of the authority is less important than what the facility does for the region. So we call ourselves the gateway to the west coast of Florida. And we really are. 10% of our passengers come from Sarasota. And Sarasota has their own airport. So, but Sarasota is only an hour away. When I was in Dallas, I drove an hour. I was still in Dallas. So that to me is a suburb. Anybody here from Sarasota, please don't shoot. So anyway, I think it's more important that we contribute to the region as opposed to what the name is. The name doesn't matter. What we do is what matters, I think. Yes, sir.
Neil McMullen. My question is like the previous one, and that is first-rate airports are rather capital intensive. We have PIE here. We have Sarasota Manatee. Within 50 miles. We have Southwest, a little bit farther south in Fort Myers. We have Orlando. These are all fairly large airports. How many are too many? Given the fact that the 40-year ground transportation plan shows a real improvement. The 75-year hope and dream shows even more improvement for ground transportation, bringing people faster to a central point.
Yeah, excellent question. I go back to history. Y'all remember Eastern Airlines? Remember National? Remember Brand? Remember Pan Am? Okay. There was a time when there were 20 or 30 airlines, and every town wanted their own airport because they were going to get air service from somewhere. And those were days of competition, crazy competition, and awful losses. The airlines never made any money. But it was a lot of fun. I can tell you, I had a lot of fun doing it. But everybody had an airport because people would serve it. Now I'm going to use Sarasota as an example. Sarasota had AirTran flying there, a pretty good pattern, right? Well, Southwest bought AirTran, and Southwest never flew to Sarasota because they said, I fly to Tampa, and it's only an hour away. So Southwest closed down AirTran in Sarasota. And just like the airlines are consolidating, right? There's only four big airlines. Airports are probably going to consolidate. So that what Southwest said is, I don't need to fly to Sarasota because Sarasota will drive to me. And they said, I got planes in Tampa, I got the air conditioning running in Tampa, and I got staff in Tampa. So you all need to get in your car and drive to Tampa. And we have four international airports within 1 hour of each other. Orlando, Tampa, St. Pete Clearwater, and Sarasota. All of them have customs. All of them have federal TSA. All of them have federal control towers. I don't know. I really don't know how many is too many. I do know there's a lot of federal money that goes into each of them, and it could be more efficiently done, I think. Yes, Janet.
Janet Mock, Pinellas County Commissioner. Thank you so much for your time and talent coming here today. We're very grateful to have you. My question is, given the timing in which you chose to launch this fabulous innovation and restoration and expansion of the airport, and the way in which you figured out how to get it funded, can you give us a little insight into how you think we could more effectively raise the level of public transportation in Pinellas County? There are several members of the office.
Yeah, I mean, and I can tell you, because I don't have to get elected, so I can tell you what I think about all this stuff. We decided that we didn't want to kick the can down the road. So we had a traffic problem. That's what we had. We had a traffic problem. Our roadways were too congested. Our curbsides were too congested. We got a traffic problem. What are you going to do? We decided to do a rail. We put a 1.4-mile peak mover system that takes 2.3 million car trips a year off our roads. So I was able to do rail, rubber wheel, whatever you want to call it, within my own envelope because I didn't have to go to the voters. I just had to fund it and get my board to believe it, and they did. And guess what? It's happened. It'll be done by October 2017. The best in the world will be here in Tampa. Now, if you think that 20 years from now the traffic's going to get better, I don't know what's going to happen. If you think that, raise your hand. Okay. I don't see any hands. So the question is, when do you want to fix it? You're going to fix it. You're going to fix it. I guarantee you. What year are you going to fix it? I don't know. That's up to you all. But the fact that we have a traffic problem should not be a surprise to anyone in this room. The answer to how you solve it is something that we got to start working on right now. Whether that's rubber wheel buses, bus rapid transit. Can you imagine having a bus from downtown St. Pete with Wi-Fi on it, so you can text and you can do your work and all that, on a nice bus with your bags right next to you, drops you at the airport, you go right to your gate, and you don't have to pay for parking. So people say to me, Joe, why are you giving up your parking revenue? Are you crazy? I'm like, no, I don't have any more room to build parking garages, and I don't want to spend $200 million on a parking garage. You want to come on a bus? It's better. It's better for me. I don't have the room for more. We only have 3,400 acres. Does that answer the question?
Well,
kind of.
What your vision might be for raising that same
kind of thing. I would ask you to be forward-thinking and courageous, just like our forefathers were, in order to think about the next generation who will take over here. Sir.
Morris Kurtz, 48-year patron of the world's best airport.
And Morris.
Since I began traveling on my own at the age of 14. Chief situation for me these days is getting to and from the airport. We just heard a question about local transportation. Perhaps, could I ask you, could you help us solve a dilemma here at St. Pete by taking over the pier and converting it to a heliport?
I'm not going there. I will just say this about St. Pete and where we sit today. This is one of the most beautiful places on earth right now, the way I see it. I come down here on the weekends and you think you're in Europe. I mean, there are people from all over the world here enjoying this place. Sir.
Jim Baker, you don't seem to have a whole lot of sympathy for, especially those of us in St. Pete, where our regional airport is a whole lot more convenient to us rather than have to go across the Bay Bridge to get to it. If you're talking about mass transportation and those things, what's wrong with the regional airports?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Are they affecting your bottom line?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I think that we serve two different markets. My point of view is if a traveler wants to go to St. Pete Clearwater, they get a good fare, and they spend their money in this community, then that's a good thing. And that's what we're all about, is providing jobs, creating tourism, creating economic impact. If that means St. Pete Clearwater has a legion and has a niche there, power to them. It's okay with me. And we're going to drive 18 million passengers through Tampa. Most of them, 30% of them are going to come here. That's all good. As long as the hotels are full and people got jobs. Yes, sir.
Raymond Bork. You were just talking about transportation, yet Tampa International doesn't allow for using Uber. How can you know about that?
I'm an Uber fan. I got the app on my phone. I think I was a cab driver, so I have a stake in this. If you go to Washington, D.C. often, and have been there for years, you'll remember the taxis were horrible. Awful. Like, I mean really bad. So, Uber comes along, right? And I use Uber in Washington. And guess what? The taxis got really better. They all take credit cards. They're all clean. They're all newer. How did that happen? Competition. Competition is good. This country was founded on that principle, right? I believe Uber should be allowed to compete. I believe that they should have insurance, and they should be regulated properly, just like everybody else. When they come out to the airport, they got to pay the same fees as the rest of the cabs do, because otherwise it's unfair. But I believe in competition. I think it's a great new innovation. Yes, Dave. Yeah, you're up here.
I'm going to share the mic.
Thank you. I'm going to try and rephrase Dan's question. Talk about the political organization. Tiger Bay is a political organization. Tiger Bay is a political organization dedicated to doing the work in European political activities. Our political activities are helping you maximize the potential to serve us better. And so, great, but if not, what would you suggest we did?
The question was, is the political environment helping to grow my business and company to benefit the airport and so on? I have three kids, they have one car. All right? These millennials, when I was growing up, you wanted a Camaro and a girlfriend in that order. Now, the kids don't want it. They can see anybody they want on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And they don't want to pay for the car, they don't want to park the car, they don't want any of this stuff. So the future generation is saying to us very clearly, I want to live close to a city, I want to ride on a bus or a train because I want to text on the way to work. And I want to do my, get on the internet and look something up. Because it came to my head, I want to look that up. But when you're on a bus with internet, you can do that. When you're on a train with internet, you can do that. The future generations are going to require that. In order for us to be successful as a region, we have to attract this young talent to our place. And the only way we're going to do that is to offer products that they want. All right? They don't want to live in a suburb with everybody having three cars. And that's just not what they want. And by the way, we're running out of suburbs, in case you haven't noticed. So we have to change the business model. The politicians have to build a city and a region where people want to live not next month, not 10 months from now, 5, 10, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. George Beam, when he built that airport, wasn't thinking 5 years ahead. He was thinking 50 years ahead. Now, I'll just ask you, are you thinking 50 years ahead as politicians?
No.